Well, let me just encourage you this morning. It's going to be. Let me say this first. Number one, thanks, Jonathan and your team, for putting on a great weekend, for just investing in parents and loving parents enough to be able to do what you did this weekend. Amazing weekend, and I pray that the fruit of it just continues to spill over and over. And thanks to your pastor for just leading. And one of the things that I get to do is, as I talk to churches, is I get to see how engaged they are in church planning, and your church is leading the way. And your pastor has just helped and elevated that all across the world, and especially in North America. And so for what you guys are doing on behalf of church planting across North America, even here in Jacksonville, and sending out Josh is just awesome. And so the spread of the gospel is happening right across and around the world because of what's happening right here. And so thank you for that, and I appreciate that. So let me tell you just a little bit about myself. As Jonathan mentioned, Chad and Chanda Childress, all right? Yeah, that's fun right there, all in itself. I met her in East Tennessee. I'll tell you a little bit about that. And we weren't related before that, so that's good news. You never know, right, in East Tennessee. So Chad and Chanda Childress decided to have children, and right out of the bat, we had twins, twin boys. Any twin parents in here? No, there was a couple yesterday. Yeah, got some twin parents. Well, you know, at that point in time, you're trying to figure out names. You're like, all right, what do you do here? And, you know, do you do Nil and Phil, you know, or, you know, something like that, Rick and, you know, whatever. I mean, so you're trying to figure out what do you do, what do you name them? And at that point, we're like, all right, we don't want to do the rhyming name thing, so we'll still kind of keep it in the family. And so we named them Cole and Clay. Very earthy. Some of y'all get that later. But we named them Cole and Clay, and we didn't spell it C-O-A-L, in case you're wondering. Some of you smart people are like, really, you did that? We didn't. So, but we didn't do, you know, the rhyming name, but we did the twin name. And so now you have Chad and Chanda Childress with their children, Cole and Clay. All right? So, yes, it gets worse. So, because then, you know, Chad and Chanda Childress with their children, and we have one on the way, a baby boy. And so here comes another one. And at that point in time, you don't just kind of say, all right, let's stop because what we've got going here is a, you know, bad thing, so let's name him like Frank. You don't do that, you know. He's going to grow up with some kind of complex, like, which one of these doesn't belong, you know. So he's going to be, so we had to name him Calvin. So we had Calvin, and we had one more on purpose. We named her Creighton. So Chad and Chanda Childress with their children, Cole, Clay, Calvin, and Creighton. And we live in Cumming, Georgia. It'd be really cool if we lived in Chattanooga, wouldn't it? Like, I would just, like, set it off and had a chihuahua and, you know. So like Jonathan said, my children are all, they're basically out of the house. My daughter is spending 1 year, and that's all I'm allowing, in her first freshman year of college because she really needed to study a whole lot more than she did in high school. So she needed to learn that. I'm not sure she is, but, you know, we're giving her that chance. So she is at home with us, and the others are out. We got one kid that's married, and so, yes, I am getting old, Jonathan. Appreciate that, dude. So that's just a little bit about me, but what I came here is for you. And so really this morning, it's going to be a unique time. It's not going to be, you know, kind of a sermon that you're probably used to. And I watched last week's sermon, your pastor, which was awesome on anxiety and just dealing with that. And, I mean, it's just really, really good. And this morning, what I would love to do is just kind of help us engage. And so what I'm going to ask is if you would, go ahead and get the worship guide that you have and go ahead and pull that out. And I want you to be ready. Grab a pen. And this is kind of an all play right here, all skate. You know, everybody's going to participate because it really will pertain to us, and you're going to engage with this. I think all of us, if we're all honest, we all love a good comeback story, don't we? I mean, we love a good comeback story, except when it's against, you know, you're cheering for your great sports team like last night and Duke came back and beat the Hills, but I'm going to let that one go. But in sports, whether it's, you know, in business, just relationally, spiritually, whatever it may be, we love a good comeback. We love kind of the things that make us feel good. You know, when something happens, and maybe it's a blockbuster movie or a fiction book that you read or even a viral video and it's reality and you see something that has no hope, all of a sudden is pulled up from the ashes and given hope. It's the dog that was rescued, or the, you know, person that comes back from, you know, serving in military and comes back, and it just gives you the feels, right? We love those comeback stories. You get to see that. And it really is, it boils down to, because what we are able to see is some hope. Where there may have not been any, where there's just been may have, you know, like some despair and some I'm just not sure I'm ever going to get out of this. And all of a sudden, you see this emerge, and you see this comeback, and you see this bounce back. And what it does for us, in my mind, and the reason we love that so much is because we look at that and we say, hey, I've experienced that at some point in my life. I've been through that. I know what that feels like. And you love that. Or maybe you're an individual who you look at that and say, I need that. That's what I need in my life right now, is I need this great comeback. There's something going on in my business, and there's something going on in our family. There's something going on in my life, and I need that hope and that comeback. So whatever it may be, as we think about this and as I talk through this, and like I said, it's not going to be, you know, a typical sermon. We're going to wrestle with some scripture, and we're going to look at some things just personally. What I'd love for us to do is, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn, and this is typical, but we're going to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. All right, so 2 Peter chapter 1. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read this verse, and what I would love, or these verses, and what I'd love for you to do is just let this marinate with you. Let this just sit and let it just kind of just, you know, flow over you, and let it just marinate in your spirit as we read this verse and then as we talk, all right? So it says this: His divine power has given us everything required for life. And I just want you to pause right there for a second. And let that sit with you. His divine power has given us everything for life. Not just some things for part of your life. Not just some things for another area of your life. He has given you everything for life by His divine power. For life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And by these things, or by these, He has given us very great and precious promises, that through them you may share in the divine nature with Jesus, you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in this world because of evil desire. We'll come back to some of these verses later. And for this very reason, make every effort to supplement. And here's what I want us to do. This is like old school responsive reading. If you've ever been in church where you did responsive reading, we're going to do that right here. And what I want us to do is, if can we put that up on the screen, the verses on the screen? Perfect. So here's what I want us to do. Whenever I say with, you're going to say the next word. All right? Y'all got that? So I'll say with, you say the next word. All right? So for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness with. All right? Next verse. Knowledge with. Self-control with, endurance with, godliness with, brotherly affection with love. And then it goes on, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, if you possess these in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What great hope those verses can bring to us today. What great hope. Really, the only thing that I know about you as you walked through these doors is that you walked in with a past and maybe a present in which you have experienced and you have gone through, and you may have that past and that present, and on some level, they have left a mark in your life. It's created something in your life that's just left a mark. And what I want us to do this morning is I want us to explore that a little bit. I want us to look at these marks. So your worship guide on the back, there's a ton of great blank space, and I love this, all this blank space. And I want you to take on the back of this worship guide, or your phone, if you're not a writer and you're a typer on your phone, then do it on your phone. But I want us to think about this. Now what I have here, I brought with me a couple of things. And I'm gonna pass out. I'm gonna pass out one at this point, right here. You gotta catch this though, because oh man, I was going to you. It's the ping pong ball's fault. All right, you got it, dude. Oh man, you missed it. right back to you. There it is. All right. So this is a ping pong ball. Now, historically, we know that ping pong balls, they're kind of resilient because you can hit them with a paddle and you can hit it as hard as you can and it's going to fire back, right? I've not seen too many paddles hit a ping pong ball and it breaks the ping pong ball. Just hadn't seen that much. Yet, if I take this ping pong ball and if I take my thumb, right here, take your thumb and press into a ping pong ball, what happens? Leaves a dent, right? Leaves a little mark. And if I keep on pressing and I press harder, and I just keep on pressing around this ping pong ball. Everybody has found one of those ping pong balls that you look at and say, is it redeemable? And you go, man, this ping pong ball, it has got dents all over it. Sometimes you can push it so hard it breaks. But if I take this ping pong ball and I say, all right, I'm going to work this out because I'm going to make this a ping pong ball that I can use at some point. There's just no way to do that. This ping pong ball is dented. It's marked. Those dents aren't coming out. Sometimes you can get some small dents out, but usually you just can't get those dents out. I want us to think about our lives. What are some of the dents that have happened in your lives? What are some of the moments or events that have happened that have left their mark on you? And what I want you to do is I want you to take your worship guide or your phone, and I want you to write three of those events in your life. So go ahead, write three of those events in your life. This is all skate, all right? So everybody's getting the pen, we're participating. Write three of those events that have happened in your life that have left a mark on your life. Go ahead, write those down real quick. And I'm going to give you just kind of a minute here, and it's going to be awkward silence, or maybe there's music, I don't know, and we're just going to let you do that, all right? All right, so maybe you've written one or two down. Hopefully you got three. Let me tell you mine really quickly. And this is in chronological order for me, and hopefully maybe it was for you as well. But the first one has to deal with this. At age five, my dad was electrocuted in a freak accident in a radio station, and he died. And so at age five, my dad died. 2 years later-ish, my mom, and within that 2 years, was just men in and out of the house. My mom experimented with drugs, suicidal thoughts, all those kind of things happened because of the death of her husband and the death of my father, and had an older brother, 3 years older. And I don't remember much about the death of my father. I don't remember much of what all that happened. But I do remember as that time unfolded, as my mom met a guy, and 6 weeks later, met a guy on a blind date, and 6 weeks later married him, and then we started moving all around. I don't remember much about all the death stuff, but I do remember all of the confusion that it created in my life. And there was great confusion in my life, and it left a mark. Moving around so much and having to deal with all that. He had a younger son, 3 years younger, who entered our life. A blended family came together. We're moving around, balancing all of those new things that are going on, and it left confusion. So that's the number one thing that happened in my life. Number two, in the moving, we continued to move around, and we moved between my freshman and sophomore year in high school. That's not a prime time to move your kid. This is not one of those like you look at and say, yeah, that's a great time to move. If you've ever experienced that, maybe you have, or you're a student in here and you experienced a move like that, it's not fun. Not to say that I was killing it in ninth grade where we were, but I was making some inroads with some of the cool kids, all right? So, I mean, I was getting there. It was like, yes, I'm playing sports. I'm engaged with that. You know, I mean, it became home somewhat, and all of a sudden we're about to move again. And I remember just thinking, I'm moving my 10th grade year into a new school new atmosphere. As an introvert, that's just not one of the things that you love and try to want to go through. And I can remember that dent left incredible resentment toward my dad, my stepdad. And so as that unfolded, I can just remember, man, that was one of those things that happened. Another one, about 10 years ago now, a little over actually, we got a call. And my younger brother, who I was as close to as my older brother, my biological brother growing up, he was 3 years younger and came into, you know, the world when I was 6 or 7, and he was around 3. And it was just a really kindred, you know, we had a great time as brothers and just this brotherly affection that we had for one another. And so about 10 years ago, we get a call who said that he had been found dead and he had overdosed in a rented out room. He had just tried to make do, and it was one of those things, you know, you lose a brother who you love. And I can just remember that right there left regret for me. What did I do enough? You know, was there something there? And you know, you think about the death of a father, you know, even the move of a teenager, which left a dent, and the death of the brother. There's been some things in my life that have great opportunity to leave impressions in my life that I never recover from. That's just part of it. And yet, there's something to it when I look at how those things have left confusion and regret and resentment and those things that the marks have left in my life that I've rebounded from. And if you would think about the marks that you wrote down, what did they leave in your life at that time? What was it that it left on you? Have you recovered from that? Have you gotten over that in your life? Have you gotten past it? Do you still carry that? Is that something that's still a part of your life? Life is no respecter of person, is it? Pain, suffering, it doesn't respect. It doesn't matter how much you have in your bank account. It doesn't matter how good of a business you have. It doesn't matter your health. You're going to experience pain, suffering. There's going to be something that happens that makes a dent in your life. Doesn't matter how great of a parent you are. There's going to be a kid that walks away from their faith. There's going to be something that comes back. And I think one of the things, even it was said yesterday by one of the counselors yesterday, there's a word that I even mentioned earlier, is resilience. And I think it's one of the greatest traits that we as humans can possess. Now, resilience is just this, it's the ability to bounce back. There's a toughness to it. That's what resilience is. And when you think about resilience in just the human spirit, and even in animals, there's a resilience to them, and there's just this something that just kind of pushes. But when you think about it in the human, in humanity, and you look at it even in Scripture, you see resilience modeled all throughout Scripture. You can see it from Ruth. You can see it in Job's life in the Old Testament. You can see it in the woman at the well. You can see it in Paul. Now, all of those things that happened to them, man, there was just this resilience that pushed them forward. Now, what I have here is a racquetball. A racquetball is resilient too. I've never seen anybody hit a racquetball and it just split. I've never seen that. I'm sure it's happened. So this illustration breaks down somewhere. But I've never seen it. But what I can do with this racquetball, coming at you, ready? There it is. What I can do with this racquetball is I can take this racquetball and I can press in as hard as I can. And guess what happens? It bounces back, right? This racquetball, whatever it's made of, some rubber, polymer, whatever, something, somebody in here can tell me, it is resilient. It just bounces back. It just bounces back. Now, sure, there's dents in our lives. There's things that have shaped us. There's things that we probably carry. But resilience, something that we're going to bounce back from, is what we need to be. And so when we think about resilience, I want you to spend 2 minutes. 2 minutes max, and I want you, underneath those things that have left a dent, I just want you to write down 2 things that you look at and say, the goodness of God God's faithfulness in my life has been evident in these times or these moments. And I just want you to write those three things down in chronological order, if you will, all right? So write those three things down really quick. We're going to play a little background music for you, and then I'll jump back into it. All right, so let me tell you mine, and I guess I'm the one with the microphone, so I get to share. But I guarantee you, if what we could do is we shared the things that have left dents and marks on our lives, and we share the goodness of God, there's probably things that you wrote down that even the people beside you don't even know. People in your row, in your small group, or in Sunday school class, they don't know. There's things in our lives that if we had an opportunity, even in here, to begin sharing, it would bring courage and encouragement and hope to others. So let me share with you the things that I've seen. The first one starts with my mom. So again, my mom went through an incredible time after my dad died, remarried this guy. They've been married 43 years. Praise the Lord for that. It's just amazing that they stuck together and through all kinds of mess, and it's just the faithfulness of God. But it only happened, I believe, because at age 38, my mom, in one of the towns that we moved into, was invited by a lady to a Bible study. And these ladies, it was a charismatic Bible study. And so when she got saved with a little special sauce there, and man, it just changed her. And she got fired up, man, and we didn't just go to church anymore. We went to church. We engaged in church. It was a dead as a hammer First Baptist Church, but God still worked. And I'm just telling you, it was one of those things where my mom was sharing Jesus with us, talking to us about Jesus. That had never happened before. At age 11, I heard that. I responded to that, knelt down in our living room with my mom and prayed at an old pine wood coffee table that had stains all over it. I can just remember it vividly, and praying and asking Jesus into my heart as an 11-year-old. And he changed the trajectory of my life. And guess what? That came because my mom was a resilient, and still is a resilient, woman. And God had a plan. Even in the death of my father, God had a plan. He knew in his providence, he was fast-forwarding, he was moving us around, he was getting her exactly where she needed to be in her life to say yes to a Bible study so she could come to Christ, so she could witness and share Jesus with her family. And that's exactly what happened. Number two is, as I told you, my wife was from East Tennessee, and I moved my sophomore year. Moving in my sophomore year, I'm looking at my wife, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, she is amazing. She is my high school sweetheart. She just didn't know it. And she's 2 years older. So a sophomore in high school is not going to date a senior in high school. That just doesn't happen usually. But a sophomore in college did date a senior in college. She said yes to a date. 2 years later, she said yes to, will you marry me? And all of a sudden, we've been married, and God has shaped me into a better man because of her and her love for the Lord. So it was a girl that said yes. Last is I was in a hotel room with a friend. It was a friend's hotel room. I was in this hotel room. My mom called into his room. She was in Tennessee. I'm in New Orleans with friends hanging out, talking at an event, and she calls, and I just knew something up. Answer the call, and she's like, hey, you need to call your brother. He just found out that his wife's having an affair on him. And I'm like, oh. So I call him, go up to my room, we talk. I just find out he's sitting there. He is dumbfounded, shocked, broken. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's got a loaded gun. He is contemplating all kinds of things. I just share the hope of the gospel with him, and I continue to talk to him, and I invite him into relationship with Jesus, and he says yes, and he becomes a Christian, and his life changed. This was my older brother. And so the trajectory of his life changed. You know, when we think about the goodness of God, we can look at those things, and we can just rest in those. But those dents are always there. And we have to think that all of the dents and all of the goodness of God, what do? They shape us. And we learn and we grow from both. And the perspective that we have as we look back and we see this comeback or this bounce back of how God's faithfulness has pushed us, it brings courage and hope. And that's exactly what Peter is pushing us into in this text. I want us to read it again. As we've marinated and we've thought about this, it says, his divine power, the power of Jesus in you, if you are a believer in here, that divine power rests in you as a believer. His divine power has given you everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. It's come through that. And by these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in this divine nature, escaping the corruption. The corruption here is the decay, the decrepitness of this world. What this world would shove at us and push us into, the lust of our own selves that just breaks us down and makes us a shell of what God has intended for us to be. And he says this, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement, to come alongside. And it's diligence. It's not just kind of pulling our bootstraps up and trying harder. It's not that. It is making every effort because of this faith that we have. And this faith we're supposed to supplement with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. Self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will keep you from being a shell of what God wants you to be. You will bounce back. You will see life through the lens that Jesus said, hey, I've come and I want to bring you life and life abundantly. We must not allow our past or our present to dictate our future. Proverbs says this, 24:16, though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. 2015, a Time article came out talking about these expert tips for resilience. There's 10 of them, and I just want to share three of them and tie them into just kind of what God has shown throughout the gospel and what he has shown throughout scripture. The first one is, your expert tips for resilience, to create resilience in your life. Number one is develop a core set of beliefs that nothing can shake. What's that sound like to you? Does that sound like faith? We as Christians have a core set of beliefs that we can rest in, that we can ground ourselves in, that we can have and we can hold on to no matter what's coming. He says, hold on to that. That is faith. Hold on to what is holding on to you. So have faith. Number two, try to find meaning in whatever stressful or traumatic thing has happened. So try to find meaning in those things that have pressed in and pushed into you. It's interesting, in recent years, scientists have really looked at PTSD, and it's a huge issue, not just anymore in military or anything else, you know, just kind of dealing with war or anything. It's all across the board. And PTSD really is a resilience-related disorder. It's how are you bouncing back from incredible trauma and things that have happened to you that you've experienced. And how that bounces back. And one of the most effective things that they found in treating PTSD patients is saying you need to go serve other PTSD patients. You need to work with them. In working out their own PTSD, they're serving others and they're finding some solution to their own trauma and their own things because they're serving others. They find meaning for that. in their own suffering. What does that sound like? To me, it sounds like hope. I don't mean to be trite or anything like that, but hope is dope for the soul. It really is. You have got to wake up craving hope. You've got to create an addiction to hope. It is the greatest sermon that you will ever preach to yourself. When you wake up in the morning, God, there is hope today. There is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is hope in that relationship. There is hope because of my faith. There is hope. I'm going to find hope in all things. And guess what you do? You bounce back. There's great resilience in that. So faith, hope. One of the last ones, they said, be quick to reach out for support when things go haywire. That's love. We need each other. We don't need to just come to church with each other. We don't need to just sit on the same aisle, sit in the same Sunday school classroom, but we need each other. We need to show the kind of compassion that someone would trust to reach out for. Do you show that kind of compassion toward others? That when they are desperate and they just need to bounce back and they're just hopeless, that they see something in you because of your love that they reach out for and is trustworthy. Faith, hope, and love allow us to become resilient. I want to close with these questions. How are you becoming more resilient? How are you becoming more resilient? And I will say this, it depends on how much more you're becoming like Jesus. Growing in those things, supplementing your faith in those things, allows you to push toward becoming more resilient. How is your faith, hope, and love in your life? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that you have called us. You desire for us to be resilient in all things. But it is not through our own self-effort. It is through the power and the hope of the gospel that we see that. And so, God, I pray that there would be great courage and encouragement for us today in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chad. So, there are no perfect ping pong balls in here.
That's right.
We're all dented in different ways and for different reasons. Some of you today are a victim of your parents' denting. They did things that left deep marks inside of you. In fact, some of those may be so deep today that you have cut off all connection with your parents. Maybe they're still alive, but you won't talk to them. Maybe they're dead, and you won't forgive them because the dent just went so deep. Maybe you're the denter. Maybe you've done some things. And listen, there's no perfect ping pong balls in here, and there's no perfect parents. I've made my mistakes. You've made yours. We've all done it. But some of us today maybe just need to go, Lord, you know, and here's what I'd like for you to do today. I'd like for you to think about, unless you're just perfectly happy and satisfied with everything in your life right now, let me ask you a question. How are you planning not to end up on Monday evening the same way you are today? What are you going to do? Here's what I will tell you you cannot do. You cannot be passive and change. You can't keep doing the same thing and expecting the next day to turn out differently. It won't. What will you do today to change how Monday night looks? How would you go into Monday? Your parents, you're actively parenting, meaning your kids are still home, no matter what age they are. They're still home. You're parenting. And maybe you've said some things. Let's be honest. Sometimes we do. And we say to ourselves when we walk away, well, how dumb was that? Why did I say that? But then we get stuck in that moment where we're so proud. Well, I'm not going to go back. I can't go back and tell my son, hey, I missed. I should not have said that to you. I didn't mean that. To our daughter, you know, honey, I think you're wonderful. I think you're beautiful. And I should not have said what I said. Listen, folks, be honest with your kids. If you nothing else, give them honesty. You won't be perfect ever. Be honest. If nothing else, I would rather my kids say, well, at least Dad was honest. He sure wasn't perfect, but he was straight up with me. Today, maybe some of you, and this is the active time, you can sit back there and be passive if you want to. Welcome to the same thing tomorrow. Or you can say, today, I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to make a difference. And maybe you can come here, maybe your spouse is with you, and you can come as a couple. We've had a parenting conference all weekend. Here's your opportunity to go, now what? Now what is? Maybe you need to come today at this altar before the Lord and say, Father, I've messed up. Maybe you messed up because you're messed up. But you can't blame your mom and dad forever for your mistakes. At some point you have to go, I did that. It hurts, but I did it. And listen, if you're trying to parent children today without Jesus Christ in your life, good luck. You got some rough waters ahead. And you got no captain to pilot you. Just good luck. Seas are rough. You probably won't make it, but what are you going to do? See, today you can say, Lord, I have two souls in my house, three souls that are going to live forever. I don't want to dent them up and ding them. I don't want to mess their lives up because I'm not humble enough to go, I need help. Would you come today and just say, Lord, would you please take this over? Will you please not make me a useless parent? I don't want to be that person that my kids just can't wait to get away from. And they spend the rest of their life telling their friends what terrible parents they had. I don't want to be that guy. Do you really? Will you come to this altar today and say, Lord, alter me, change me, make a difference in my life that will be eternal? If you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know a true father. I don't care how good your daddy was. You don't know a true father if you've never met Jesus Christ and come to know the Heavenly Father. So would you come today and just say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to change. I'm ready for my life to be different. I'm ready to be a wiser parent. Not a perfect one, but a wiser one. And maybe after you've apologized to God for dinging the kids that he gave you, you might need to go to them and say, honey, we need to talk. I messed up. And you know what? Kids are resilient, aren't they, Chad? And they'll go, it's okay, Dad. We all mess up. It's okay, Mom. We all say things we don't mean. I do the same thing. And all of a sudden, there's an intimacy in your family that you haven't had because everybody's mad at each other, living in their own corners, in their own rooms. You come today and let God change that, will you? I mean, if you want to be passive, be passive. Nothing's going to change. If you want God to step in and do an incredible work in your life, you take the first step. The Bible says draw near to God and he will draw near to you. All right? This is what it looks like. Draw near to God. All right, let's stand. Let's do that. Brian, lead us as we sing, please.